Welcome to Red Alert Radio, grassroots radio with an ear on the issues that matter to you. Hosted by your local Labour MPs.
Ko Julie Ferry, tuku ingoa, ko puki tāpapa, puki wiwi, te maunga, ko te awanga, te awa, ko manako, te whanga, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Kia ora, my name is Julie Ferry and I'm the Deputy Chair of the Puki Tāpapa Local Board, one of five Rossville Community Voice Reps on that board of Auckland Council. I'm also part of the City Vision Centre-Left whānau. I have a regular spot here on Red Alert Radio. You'll have been hearing a little bit more of me recently because we're in the pre-election period, and my other colleagues who are often on the spot too have got other duties. I'm really keen to get your feedback, and you can find me very easily on social media, both Twitter and Facebook. Just search for Julie Ferry. Bit of a funny spelling. It's F for Fred, A-I-R-E-Y. I'd love to hear from you. We also now have a Red Alert Radio Facebook page. Search for Red Alert Radio AKL and you should find us. We'll put up links there to the podcasts once they're available online, and also any other relevant bits and pieces we find, and that's another good way to get in touch. Now, regular listeners will be familiar with the approach of most of my sessions, exploring the value that a left progressive approach can bring to local government and our communities. And I've talked with local board members and community types from different parts of Auckland. You can hear those interviews at planetaudio.org.nz. Look for Red Alert Radio under R in the programs list. And today, my guest is Tracy Mulholland, who is the chair of the FO Local Board. Tracy was first elected to the local board last year and straight away became the chair. She has managed the Newland Business Association for 6 years before being elected and has a long history of involvement working as a staff member in local government, including for both Manukau City and Waitakere City Councils before the Super City amalgamation in 2010. Obviously, Tracy has a strong interest in supporting local economic development and she's elected on the Labour ticket in FO. Thanks for joining us today, Tracy. Lovely to have you here.
Tanaka and kia ora koutou to yourself, Julian. Thanks for having me, and also to all of our wonderful listeners out there. Thanks for this opportunity to share a bit.
Great. Now, first up, why did you decide to stand for local government in 2016? You spent a lot of time involved in local government, but from the other side, as it were. So what motivated you to put yourself forward, and why on the Labour ticket in particular?
Well, of course, that's a great question, and I do have a love for Labour and the values and what we stand for in terms of people, community and social justice. Also, my whānau and family, there is a background, of course, of being Labour supporters. So you did raise the comment about local economic development and supporting local ED, and that's not just about business. Of course, that is good, sound economic development. It's helping people with jobs, it's betterment. Also, why did I stand? This is always an interesting question. I have been asked this quite a bit, especially as I was selected for chair, which I'm very grateful for. I've got a really strong interest in representation, fair representation, strong advocacy for betterment for our community. And that is really why I believe in the long run I did stand, because I had previously had discussions with the Labour team, of course. You know, I'd known David for many years, having worked in local government and been in the area. So for me, it was about, I felt with the background I had, we could get betterment for the community if we had strong advocacy and someone who had some skills and knowledge and understanding how local government worked from an internal. So maybe that was a helpful thing. So I stood on that basis that I felt, you know, I owed it to people after having been in the community a long time to also try to get better representation and projects across the line.
Great. It's a little bit gamekeeper turned poacher. And I have had that experience too, where I worked in a union for many years, which, of course, controlled by, democratically by the members. Yeah. And there is a difference. You're not the decision maker when you're staff, and then you step into the governance role. And some people find that quite challenging. Other people thrive in it. So, how did you find that change from being on the sort of employee side or the external advocate with business association work to actually being a decision maker. How have you found that change?
About time would be two words. Like, so I think you're right. What happens is we have the absolute intent, or I'd had, you know, as a staff member, and I worked in that sector of supporting economic development and growth and betterment. So I had a very broad range. I was one of those fortunate people, especially when I was at Waitakere, that went across all floors talking to all sorts of people because of the work. But in terms of your comments about the challenge, there is a significant difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's critical that we do get people in our movement, and we do have people who are willing to stand up and say, okay, can we do this better? Can we move it faster? What are the community saying? What do they need? What is the evidence around that? And then support that. Again, it comes to good advocacy, and I am a person who does like to prove the facts to council staff with numbers and evidence of what people say, and I have been doing that with our local board plans. So it is a transition, you're right, so it's been a significant change, and I do feel that it, and one of the notes I wrote, and thanks for giving me the opportunity for some preparation, it is truly, dearly about, and for listeners, it is a stronger voice, and I must say, We do have to really portray that and back that up, because you're right. There are a lot of staff and a lot of people that do some amazing things in council, but they need good leadership locally as well, and collectively with our leadership across the boards and our governing body. I think we can achieve that with a stronger, reasoned voice.
Yeah. Yeah. So wow.
It has challenges.
Yeah, it does. It's and what has surprised you coming onto the local board that you didn't expect, that, you know, partly about the change from being, you know, not a decision maker, advocating or taking direction, and then to being the one giving it, but also, you know, the culture of council, or, you know, is it what you expected?
It's interesting, the word surprise. I considered that, and I wonder, you know, for listeners and people who know that we are out there representing and working for them, the word surprise, I suppose I've looked at that and gone, it's nearly a year now.
Yeah.
So my view on that was I wanted to look at it more as pleased. And don't get me wrong, there have been surprises along the way. And I think, you know, everyone knows, of course, there's going to be challenges. But I looked at it as pleased.
Right.
And our ability to get the message out there, our ability to contribute. And as a board member, I think because I'd had so many years in the community already, that did make it a lot easier for me, I must admit. When I first came to Auckland to work on the Linmore project and then the transit-oriented development project with Waitakere and then the work at Manukau. So there were some surprises in terms of behaviours, but I really believe, and this is what I really enjoy about our movement and how we work together as a team, leadership is always going to have its challenges, and if you listen to people, and I did use the word recently, fighting for our rights, and was told, oh, that's maybe not the best word. And I said, well, that's what we're using, because it is, you know, we have a right to have the best we possibly can, and we're competing for the dollar, and we're competing for betterment. So I think leadership, I thought I'd learnt a lot in my years, but there was more to learn about leadership.
There's always more to learn. That's, I mean, that's one of the things I love about this. This is now, I was first elected in 2010 and surprised to get elected. I wasn't anticipating this career change. And even now, after having done it, you know, this is my third time going through local board plans. This time has been quite different again. There's always new stuff to learn. And yeah, I've found, for example, going to the Auckland Conversations talks quite stimulating and has given me some new perspectives. I was able to do that quite a lot last term. So there's always new thinking that councils... it's quite funny because sometimes it's the staff that are encouraging the elected members to try some new thinking, and sometimes it's the reverse. Yeah. And when you get both of them working together, that's magic.
You're right, though. It is something that you either love it or you don't. But what I really love in this position is as I did recently, so I did a chair in the chair, and someone said to me, oh, why are you doing that already? You've just had, you know, local board plan conversations. And I said, because the people said they wanted to see us more.
Yeah.
And they wanted to hear from us. And I did invite the councillor to come along as well. And, you know, that's what's critical, as I see to the people that attended. And we'll be, I do want to hold those in a number of areas for the faux local board. So if people do hear about it, please do come along. If you come and you give your voice to an item, say under the plan or something that's bothering you, you know, we had a couple of issues for people. We hear it, but otherwise, how do they know? So that was also, that was a lot of fun to be able to do that for community, to get their voice and to have the staff there. And it was good of them. They came on a Saturday and it was great. So, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of things that you can do in terms of learning with that leadership style and supporting community.
Yeah, and it's funny how you have to change and adapt as well. I did a similar thing when I was a local board chair for about a year. I did once a month I'd be at the library and no one came and talked to me, basically. There were a handful of people over that time. And that just wasn't the right way to do it for my community.
Yeah.
And so what we do on the local board I'm on this term is we're having a monthly community forum instead, and we're doing it in a different place from where our local board meetings are held, so that basically is sort of another opportunity for people to talk to us.
Yeah.
And we're having, you know, we're slowly over time the turnout is increasing, but we're also, you know, trying some other things to attract more people. Like we'll have a theme now, whereas originally we saw it as, well, we'll leave it as a blank slate. So there is different things, and it will change over time as well. And I think probably that's where, like, the Newland Night Market is probably a good example in your community, where started off with an absolute roar, worked really well for a number of years, but then wasn't so fit for purpose anymore.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one that you raised. So that was a couple of years, and there was quite a substantial amount of funds that came out of the board, you know, in the vicinity of $120,000, and a very small group of people who came into our community and out of the community, a great group, you know, absolutely brilliant, contributed. But we did have a whole lot of issues, and I did get a lot of feedback on that. And my suggestion with the board, and absolutely, in fact, I had advocacy from the board, you know, about this from various members, that we needed to look at that. And I said, well, why are we just saying that group of, so a few business people and small community people and collective, why are we not looking at the bigger picture for our community? Because it is a changing community, and that is a lot of money over a period of time. And then you add all the staff time and, you know, the marketing and so forth that is contributed by council. So I said, I think we can be doing better for our community. That is a lot of money, and we need to do more for our community. So the numbers were dwindling, as you say. Yeah. It wasn't achieving the outcomes it could have been. Great organisation, great group of people, but let's do better. And in fact, I'd like to say, I haven't told you this earlier, but we had our first meeting with the staff last week to say, right, our ethnic plan for community, let's, so they've brought the team in. But as you know, that's taking time because it's a transition, so we want a strategy now for that community. So the council staff are having to do quite a bit of work, but it's, well, you know, it is a diverse community. We've got nearly 40%, you know, of diverse community as well. And then we've got our treaty responsibilities and all of the things that are really critical to us about the community. So, yeah, it was a good example of something that that maybe we can improve. Well, actually, we can improve, but how do we go about that? Because it was not just ticking a box. It's let's be better for our community. Let's do more. Let's be more strategic. Let's have a better outcome. But that will take a bit of time. And I know people have faith in me and my leadership style and our board. So I'm confident with the feedback I'm getting. Just on the comment that you said about, you know, connecting out with community, I asked for the strategic broker to give me 20 community groups so I can actually go out to them as well. So I've been enjoying going out to meet people because people can't always come to us at a board meeting, a business meeting. So that's been very, very exciting to go and meet people. I love it. You know, groups like Te La'i, you know, educational groups. That's been, you know, for me, it's rewarding when those people are happy and the youth are there and they're being connected and supported. Or you get a group of, and one of the next things I'm going to do, which is an old Super Bob Harvey activity, is I'm going to have a, Well, I'm starting the process to have a older people networking day so they can come and we can share with them, we can go to them, we can bring them to a meeting. So I'm not sure how long that will take for the team to get across that one, but I know we're going to be supported to do that because also our older community don't always have access to some of the technology. So yeah. I'm really excited about that. So that's another way of communicating our message.
Yeah, and yeah. I think one of the things that I've found, I guess, a surprise for myself about doing the local board work is that really a lot of it is about engagement and communication. Yeah. And over time, I'm seeing that more and more become part of the work as yeah. we, as local boards, build up the strategic plans that we need in various, you know, geographic areas, but also, you know, for example, sports facilities yeah. or
parks.
Park open
play
spaces
areas.
Plans.
Yeah.
yeah, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
As we build up the strategic thinking
yeah.
and paperwork that we need to then yeah. go, okay, this is the plan for the next 10
yeah.
years, this is how we'll invest our money and our resources, that means more and more of our time can be put into communications and
yeah.
engagement, which is, you know, how you fine-tune things and how you find out that actually, yeah. no, that idea we had 5 years ago, that's not going to
work
anymore.
Yeah.
yeah, so that's it's interesting to hear you say that that's something that you've found really
Absolutely.
Rewarding already.
People. That is where we are and that is where we're at. And one of the things I said to someone on the weekend at an event was, you know, this is ratepayers' money. This is ratepayers' community. You know, I work for them.
Yeah.
That is, I am a servant to them. And I've always had that long-term goal of doing the right thing and being better for that community. I serve that community and that is my job to do that. So I also need to be the voice for them, you know. So it is really critical to me and that's why I'm here doing this. You know, it's a task, but
yeah,
I really want to make sure we are the best we can for our community and our people, be it business or general community.
And I mean, one of the things that I'm really aware of about FOE is that it straddles the boundary of two of the legacy councils. So to some people might not even know, you know, we're talking about FOE because we know where it is.
Yeah.
So FOE is part of the old Avondale-Roskill ward. And I don't even know what the ward was called on the Waitakere City side.
Yeah.
But
New
it
Lynn.
Covers, yes, in the New Lynn ward in
yeah.
Waitakere City. And a little bit like Mangere Otahu local board where Otahu used to be in Auckland City and Mangere was in Manukau City. How have you found that sort of plays out in terms of the fact that, you know, your board covers two areas that were previously in different councils?
Yeah. So that's a really good question because listeners may be very interested in how do we approach working in this space. So I just want to share with listeners this, the board, the FOE, covers Avondale, New Lynn, Kelston, New Windsor, Green Bay, Blockhouse Bay. That's around about 80,000 people, so it's a lot of people. So how do we manage that? Well, I always say that we look to tomorrow and we do have to, I have to manage old relationships
yep.
and views and opinions. And again, my job in this role to chair and listen to the community, that is my community. That is who I am responsible for. So to me, there are some old ways of doing things in terms of, yes, there was the old Waitakere way, and I knew that, and I knew the Manukau way. But also I was involved with, you know, Auckland Council with staff and people because of my role in the community when I first came to Auckland. So that gets managed in the way that actually they are my community and I see them as one. So how we work is to actually, some of the things that, you know, some of the old Auckland Council plans to support Avondale that maybe didn't move as fast as it could have, now we say that is where we're going. We are FOE. That is part of the super city. They are a critical community. And so I don't look at those boundaries, although I understand some people have their old habits.
Sure.
And old habits can die hard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so try to see it as we work together. this is the foe. That is history. And, you know, I had a love for, you know, all organisations I worked for. I felt strongly about that. I loved it, you know, working in the Monaco City Council. Actually, I was really passionate. So I was in Old Pap, Mangere, Mangere Town Centre, Mahanga Drive, you know, Otara, we did a project there. So, you know, you do actually get to know the community, but also you've got to think of the bigger picture. This is Auckland. This is Aotearoa.
Yeah.
We are obliged to still think, you know, in our roles, as you know, for boards, to think of the bigger picture for community. Yeah. So I try not to, well, I don't see those old lines. Yeah. I see my responsibilities for the area, but not everybody sees it like I do, probably.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's a challenge in any organisation.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're self-employed, you're always working with other people, and they have different ideas.
Yeah, they
can
do.
And sometimes make things a challenge. So you mentioned before that you've been strongly involved in the revitalisation work in New Lynn, which, of course, has taken place over a number of years now. I end up going out there quite often on the train. My children, we go on public transport adventures on the weekends, and quite often we end up at New Lynn, and aware that a lot of the revitalisation there has happened around the location of the train station and Lynmore, which, of course, you've had involvement in over many years.
Mm.
What do you think were the successes of that work, and what could have been done better?
Yeah, and again, I think that's a really great question for people to hear, you know, a view on. And my view from being there before the ground was turned, or the sod was turned, for the transit-oriented development project. So we call it a transit-oriented development project, which is called a TOD. If anyone wants to Google that one, it's called a TOD. You know, it was selected, and we did have the support of David Cunliffe and other ministers and community, a strong support for that project. There was not another TOD in Auckland. So what were the successes? Well, I think the successes were where we worked as a huge team of people on that project.
Yeah.
That, and in particular, my role, and I'll share that. So my role was about relationship building. So I was employed to do that, to make sure that we connected people, that we worked through issues, that we listened to community, that we listened to business, that we made sure the message got out there about this undergrounding of the rail, the substantial funds. So it's about, well, it's well over $300 million.
Wow.
How the roading changes were going to take place. Now, what government also, when they funded it, was they had a high expectation that the Newland community would have to change if they funded it by the multiple millions of dollars to support it. So there was central government, local government, NZTA, there were substantial partners in that project, which, as we know, is highly successful. But there was an expectation that if you have a TOD, so a transit centre, you would also have the development of other buildings, and, you know, business would somehow play a role in that. But it was about public transport, about getting community to live in that space. So really that live, work, play. So there was a lot of communication over many years, and that had started way before I was involved with it, you know, when I was still in my old Lynmore days, when I went into the redevelopment there of that centre, and that's why I originally came to Auckland. That community had their say on what they wanted to see, you know, they had expectations. So that was part of the challenge, and that was part of the success. We have a 2010-2030 plan for New Lynn that was developed and ratified. So that has been the program we've been working on for many, many, many years, and that has had a lot of consultation and communication, a lot of contribution from people and business. And we still work on the basis of the principles of that document.
Yeah.
I have asked the team recently if we would consider with our board that we have a slight refresh of aspects of it only.
Yeah.
So not refreshing the whole thing, but just some, just, you know, you've got to review these, as you say.
Yeah.
You know, can't just sit on your laurels and sort of think about it. So that's getting a change. And so the success has been that is a brilliant transit centre. Population is critical to us. The use of public transport is important. You did it, and there's a lot of things around it that are great. So we've got the brilliant housing development that's going to be going in, although we haven't seen full lodgement or anything like that yet. But, you know, there's a lot of people going to be live, work, play. There's great nighttime economy, and that means restaurants and dining.
Yeah, that's been a big improvement.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really nice, because I love it. It's such a wide range of cuisine, and, you know, it's from when I lived in Sydney as a young woman to, like, here we've got Sydney and New Lynn type thing. So the transit is the transit project is critical. Then, you know, Limor has recently done a redevelopment, so we've got, you know, theatres. We are looking at that next stage with all of the housing. So that's going to house a lot of people, you know, over the next number of years. That will be in the vicinity of 3,000 people just in one area.
Yeah.
So access to public transport, you know, connecting in. Now, people do talk about infrastructure, and yes, we know that there's been some water issues, and we've had the absolute tragic situation that occurred in March, so with the culvert, which has been a substantial project for our board, you know.
Yeah.
And we really do need to respect that that affected a lot of people in our board area, you know, the Kelston community and the Newland community. You did ask what has not worked so well with that, and I would say, and this is definitely an absolute personal view, car parking, honestly. I mean, there is no substantive, and I mean, you know, the park and ride. It's been such a success now. That is the thing that the public is saying to us. Parking is critical because people, as at NZTA, still say they use their cars and will be, you know, for another 31 years, they'll be still using them at this level. We've got increased population, so, and we are promoting the transit centre. So car parking can be a challenge. The council have built a car park building and we do have some other public parking, but, oh, yeah, that is a hot topic for us. And so maybe what should have occurred, you know, but looking into the, well, who can look into the future and know exactly, but also the acquisition of land for, say, a pool and rec centre. So some of those things that potentially could have been done, but let's face it, was multiple, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars anyway been spent across that area. But that was the intent across the whole of Auckland, that Newland won that bid for the undergrounding of the rail for the public transit centre. So it's been a lot of successes, a lot of hard work, and a lot of good contribution by community. And we're seeing that now with the housing available there.
And now you turn to Avondale.
We are. How's that for exciting? Yeah. And I'm really advocating for that project.
So what are your hopes with that opportunity?
Well, with Avondale, I'm really pleased to share with listeners that for me, in the role I am in, and I'm so excited about this, our board has been great advocates and lobbyists for the Avondale project, that Panuku, the council-controlled arm, have now gone to unlock, and I am hopeful, and I always, as I said to someone today, don't use the word hopeful, just say do.
Yeah.
But we anticipate a board report will come up from Panuku to go to transform Avondale. We've seen some plans. Some of it is still under confidentiality because of acquisition of land and change. So I am really pleased it's already now gone to Panuku for unlock, and a lot of exciting things are happening there, and that is our big hot project for me, that we get to that transform, and then in our long-term plan with council that they fund the community centre and the library and we get redevelopment, and then across the five, of course, later on is the pool and rec. But Avondale is, we are doing it. I'm really confident we're all go now. And certainly I don't want to say it's a reflection of me, but certainly I love advocacy, and I feel like, you know, lobbying probably to get those projects, because I've worked on those big projects, is good. And also we have our councillor that has supported that project. So it's really exciting, and I think definitely we'll need to share with listeners what happens, because we're all go.
Yeah, it is very exciting. I spend a little bit of time in Avondale at the train station, but also at the library there for the Minecraft Club on Fridays. Yep. If you've got any young children who like Minecraft, straight after school from about 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock on Fridays, it's great. And, you know, there is that sort of sense of, we're waiting for something to happen in Avondale. We're waiting for that intervention. And Panuku, as the development agency, is well-placed to offer that intervention, but they need the wisdom and the local knowledge of a local board to steer that.
And community are really strong there. And I've got to say, I thoroughly love it. And so even so much as I'm actually going to Zumba at night now.
Wow. That's a major personal sacrifice. Well done. Hey, sorry we've run out of time. That was fantastic and really interesting. Thanks so much, Tracy. I hope we can check back in with you in a year or so and see how it's all going, see how Avondale is moving along. Thanks for listening, folks, and love to hear your feedback on Twitter or Facebook. A reminder that you can listen again to this interview, or you can share it via the Planet FM website, planetaudio.org.nz. Check out programs, and we are under R for Red Alert Radio. Our Facebook page is Red Alert Radio AKL, and this has been Julie Ferry. Ka kite anō.
Get together with your local MP next week at 9:05 a.m. Or listen online anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/redalertradio.